Welcome to The Pipeline, all things CD and DevOps podcast by the CD Foundation. I'm Jacqueline Salinas, Director of Ecosystem and Community Development for the CD Foundation. Thanks for joining us today for episode 16. What is continuous delivery, continuous deployment, continuous integration? And we have our guest, Victor Farsik from CodeFresh, joining us today to help us tackle these definitions.
So let's start. You've been a guest of The Pipeline before, so we understand your story of how you started your journey into DevOps. But I think we have an update. You have a new role.
Yeah, people keep inventing my roles. Now I'm principal DevOps architect. Don't ask me what that means. I have no idea.
Okay. And you're over at you transitioned over from CloudBees to CodeFresh.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Very cool. But you're still pretty much doing the same thing? Still working in the same...
Yeah. I just changed company, and that was mostly because I think that my employment in CloudBees was the longest employment I ever had.
So you needed to change things up, huh?
Exactly. But other than that, same things, very much public facing, speaking with people, working on projects, getting feedback, throwing feedback to others, things like that.
Understood. All right, so let's get into this. So today we're going to be talking about CI, CD, and CDP and trying to break down those definitions. So what is continuous integration? Let's start with that one.
So if I can backtrack for a second.
Sure.
Let me first say what is in common for all those.
Okay. And what's the commonality between CI, CD, and CDP?
The commonality is the word continuous, meaning that you are frequently pushing changes to creating pull requests to the master branch or pushing directly to master branch, meaning that you're not waiting for weeks or months until you start running one of those pipelines, no matter which one it is, right? So you are continuously, in a way, frequently, I cannot say really continuously, frequently executing some process. And what that process is what we are going to discuss right now. But it is very important to establish that we are talking about, let's say, executing it at least once a day. Otherwise, the word continuous becomes meaningless, right? And another thing that is common is that all those processes start with that commit. So that commit to a Git repository or to source code repository initiates some process. We know where each of those processes start, and they start at the commit of a Git repository. And the major difference, and I'm getting back to your question, is where do they end, right? If you know where something starts, we should probably know where it ends. And this is where things become a bit complicated. Or to be more precise, they become complicated for continuous integration because it is not really well-defined what it really is. We know that it's about continuously validating your code against the baseline, the mainline. We know that you should run some stuff automatically, and we don't know really what that stuff is for a simple reason, because we don't know what is that borderline, what is that wall between what you do automatically and what you do manually after that. And there is that manual part of the process after continuous integration for a simple reason, because if there isn't, then it's not continuous integration, then it's continuous delivery or continuous deployment. So in other words, I cannot truly define what continuous integration is, except to say it starts with a commit, you're doing it frequently, then you're running some automated steps. Maybe you're building your applications, maybe you're running unit tests, maybe you're doing static analysis. You might be doing many different things, and every single company I worked with has different scope of what continuous integration is, for a simple reason, because nobody said this is the scope of the process, this is where it ends.
Okay, that makes sense. So no one's really called it out, no one's really defined it clearly, the beginning of the end.
Because the only real end that you can define Generally speaking, is, hey, it's deployed to production, right? Mm-hmm. That's the only real end of a process. That's
right.
That's where our users see the result of our work. Anything between that, the beginning and that true end, mm-hmm. is close to impossible to define, for a simple reason, because it depends from one use case to another. It could be, hey, I run unit tests. I don't care about functional tests. Excellent. That's where your end is. Oh, I do care about functional tests. Excellent. That's maybe where you will end your automated processes. Or maybe you're going to run performance tests. Or maybe you're going to deploy to staging. We don't know because it really differs. The only commonality between everybody is that sooner or later it needs to get to production.
Right.
And that's where we enter into the domain of continuous delivery and continuous deployment.
Yeah, I want to say, if we toggle over to continuous delivery, does that have a start and an end, yeah. as well? Or is that the same struggle that CI is experiencing?
That is very, very easy. We all know what it is. There is no room for interpretation. Continuous delivery means that you have a fully automated process that ends with having a release deployable to production. And I intentionally say deployable because the only step that you do not do as part of that process, fully automated process, is the deployment itself. And that there can be many reasons for that. It's not really technical reason. It's maybe because you have some marketing campaign that did not start yet, so you want to postpone it. You know, it's a business decision. I will decide when to deploy something to production. But from technical perspective, everything is fully automated, and every single release that passed the pipeline fully is deployable to production. And it's very easy. I have an example that I kind of told already many times. I'm going to repeat it again. You just bring a random person from a street who has no idea what you're doing and tell him, deploy any of the releases that I created so far. And you go and get coffee and leave him alone, and you're not afraid what's going to happen. Simply because you trust your automation.
Yeah, that's your pressure test, right? Is if anybody can do it, then you did it right. So let me ask this, Victor. Why do many mix these practices? Why do we need to change the definitions from one case to another?
Because everybody, you know, it's almost like human nature. People like to bend the terminology, the ideas, the practices to suit their needs, because, you know, there is a fictional company. They started the journey towards somewhere. They have a project. They have a manager behind it. And at one moment, he needs to declare and say, we did it. We are doing continuous integration. We are doing this. We are doing that. Basically, it ends up that they call it whatever they made. It's what they call CI. Or, I mean, in this particular case, I can say exactly the same, that every company transformed itself into agile. And then when you scratch behind the surface, below the surface, it turns out that they're really not doing it. Because people like to say, hey, I did it, right? No matter what that something really is. And you need to put the name behind it, and then they take a name from one of the terminologies from the industry.
So how do you think we could address that? Because isn't that the reason why there's best practices and guidelines that would put at least some more defined rail guards around what it means to have, you know, digital transformation and your company actually be, you know, really practicing like either CI or CD?
That's where I hope that we can do the work in the cloud continuous delivery foundation, right? We are missing that clear definition so that people can, you know, we are missing that part that people Google what is CI or what is CD or what is any of the terminologies, right? And they find a straightforward answer, not an answer of that there is a 50-page document that describes this and that, but you do A, B, C, D, you can call yourself this. You do this, you can call yourself that. We need a very, very clear definition about what needs to be done in order for you to be able to define your process as this or that.
Yeah. Yeah. We have been starting to form a position, a much more opinionated position. Actually, Tracy Miranda, a few weeks ago, authored a blog, Why We Need to Stop Using the Term CI/CD. Some of the high level reasons, you know, it's confusing to newcomers. It's confusing to industry professionals. Industry experts hate them. it's a misleading term. You know, she makes the reference that CI/CD implies a certain yin and yang. So I thought that was an interesting way of positioning it. The podcast, we've also renamed and dropped CI from it. So we are walking away from that term. But let's transition back to your topic. And also, can you explain to us what is the relation between CI/CD and GitOps?
Okay, so from now on, I'm going to drop CI and we talk about CD, right?
Yeah. Okay. I'll ask the question again. Can you tell us about the relation between CD and GitOps?
Yeah, that's also kind of confusing, I think, where we are right now. And from my perspective, GitOps is about defining everything as code, storing code in Git repository, and then making sure that the state of your cluster of your system converges to that those definitions in Git. From that perspective, GitOps could be just as well called the flavor of continuous delivery, right? Because those are the same characteristics that both of them have, at least when from the definition point of view. Now, the reality is that GitOps tools or tools branded as GitOps emerged after the term was invented, which is a good thing. There are many good tools like Argo CD or Flux. But they're focusing only on that final aspect of the whole process or what CD is or what GitOps even is of deployments of your applications based on those definitions in Git. On almost kind of ignoring that there is a lot of things needs to happen before you deploy and potentially a lot of things needs to happen after you deploy as well. So I see it from the tooling perspective or tools that are commonly referred to as GitOps, I consider them as being one of the steps in a fully automated life cycle of your application. Like, okay, this is how you deploy it. Brilliant. Excellent. I really like it. Just as we have the ways, this is how you build a container image. Excellent. This is how you do this. This is how you do that. So it's from tooling, and this is the confusing part, that from tooling perspective, it is all about deployments of your application, while from philosophy or practical or theoretical point of view of GitOps, it is really about defining everything as code, which means basically the full life cycle of your application. And that would lead me back to the original premise of continuous delivery. And if you look at Targo CD, for example, which is one of the tools I really, really, really like, I think it's a brilliant tool. I love it. And it bothers me that it says CD. It's not, you're not doing continuous delivery. You cannot do continuous delivery just by dropping in the middle of the process. That does not diminish in any form or way the value of the tool. It's great. It just shows how we are still, the industry as a whole is confused about what each of those terms means, right? You're calling yourself CD, even though you are just a fraction of what CD really means, and the other way around. So it is very confusing, and I keep kind of almost being negative towards many of the tools from their branding perspective, because I don't like the idea that we all, we all work for some companies. We all need to sell something, and I understand how riding the waves of the current and the new and upcoming trends is important, but still throwing the expressions like GitOps, CI, CD, Agile, DevOps, everywhere you can, it's very damaging. And that's probably going to the initial discussion of what confuses people, because they see those terms, those stickers being put absolutely everywhere, right?
Yeah, that is confusing. It's just, again, buzzwords that marketing people like me create, then it causes trouble.
I understand, I understand the need to do that. I do that as well, but I still don't like it.
Victor, if you had a time machine and could go back in time and clearly define CI, CD, and CDP, what would those definitions be?
So if I could go back in time while maintaining this knowledge, I would never come up with, I would silence the person who invented CI term and go straight for CD, because it defines the whole process, not a fraction of it. So it would be simply CD. And I think that even continuous delivery, continuous deployment, that's also confusing. We should have a single term that defines the whole life cycle of application, from the first commit to a Git repository until it is running in production. I would have, continuous delivery or continuous deployment. Only one of those, pick randomly one of those two and ditch completely CI. And then there is nothing wrong in people saying, hey, I got 50% towards that goal. That's okay. Or I'm 100% there, or I'm 80% there, or 20, right? It's okay if you do not reach right away certain objective. But it would be still helpful that we have one term, and my vote would go for CD simply because it's two letters. I don't know. Nicer than CDP, I guess.
Okay. and so now, how do these practices change when you start to shift to the cloud, to Kubernetes, and to serverless?
I do not think that they change in any form of way, to be honest. I don't even like to distinguish, cloud from because actually that is also even that is a bit confusing, because right now, for example, I'm not sure whether when you say cloud, you mean public cloud like AWS, Azure, Google, or we mean taking cloud approach, being elastic and scalable and what's or not to everything. Because you can have all the cloud features in on-prem, which I do not recommend in any form of way because it's too complicated. It requires a lot of knowledge and a lot of investment. But what I really like to distinguish is rather the legacy applications, legacy systems from those built today, whether they run on Amazon or Google, or you're like Netflix, or you have everything on-prem, but you're doing it really, really well. That does not really change drastically, because it's ultimately a collection of really, really good practices that are valid today and then will be changed tomorrow again. Whether your applications are testable, whether your applications can be deployed fast, whether they're fault tolerant, whether they are, there are many, many things that we need to consider when building systems. And those things are equally valid whether we are on public cloud, in private cloud, or anywhere else. Now, what is indeed the difference is that when you go to public cloud, then many of those, I'm going to call them good practices, I don't like the word best, are almost enforced on you, right? You're almost forced to apply them, which is an excellent thing, simply because many of the bad things that you were doing before in your data center were not easily done in public cloud. But from many other aspects, apart from you being pushed towards doing things better in public cloud, I don't see real essential difference, at least when huge companies are concerned. Now, for smaller ones, of course, there is a difference because simply you don't have that people capacity to handle all the work, so you want to externalize it, and that's absolutely great. But it is essentially, it is not really that different. You can have a Kubernetes cluster, you can have a department in your company. Let's say that you're a huge financial institution, you can have a department that does everything for you. And from that perspective, if you're an engineer in that department, in that company, that group of people are the same to you as, let's say, Amazon, right? They are providing you with a service that makes it easier for you to create a cluster or to deploy application, to get the resources you need. So it's almost the same. The huge difference is that many companies think that they can get to that level without public cloud, and in reality, they cannot. Sometimes I forget the question. I just keep speaking for 10 minutes and I don't know anymore what... I have no idea what you asked me. I forgot completely.
No, it was how do these practices change with the shift to the cloud, Kubernetes and serverless?
I don't think that they really change for those who are doing things right, no matter mm-hmm. whether it's cloud or not cloud. I think it's almost the same. Now, the reality is that, yes, the service that cloud can offer you is in majority of cases so much better that you get that elasticity, you get that scale that it's very hard to get on on-prem, and a few other things.
Well, thank you, Victor, so much for your time and trying to tackle these definitions. And like I said, coming down the pipeline, we will see a white paper and we will see more blogs coming out of the CD Foundation on trying to define these terms and trying to, I think we are trying to walk away from CI because it's so confusing to people. So yeah, we will definitely see that soon. Thank you so much. And I think that's a wrap.
Thank you so much.